How to Win at Spiritual Warfare Through Prayer. Part 11, Praying Through the Bible, number 283. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Are you doing that by now? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul did not say this because it felt good. He said this for a reason. And all Christians who are not praying always with all prayer, all kinds of prayer that we're dealing with, by the way, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, are being swallowed up by the devil and his demons. Whole families and churches are being swallowed up. And for me, pray for me. If you're talking about your pastor and you're mad at your pastor and you're not praying for the pastor, you're the enemy. You are a Judas. Paul asked the congregation at Ephesus, pray for me. Why? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It is so important that you pray for preachers and for soul winners, because you've got to understand, it took us a while to really appreciate what Jesus has done for us. To some people in the pews, in the church, they know they got saved, but it's still a mystery. Just imagine how much of a mystery it is to people who don't know Jesus. Because they're thinking, you mean to tell me that a God that I have never seen created me from nothing, and I violated his laws, and he saw that I could not save myself, and so he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and he's God too, to Emmanuel, named Emmanuel, God in the flesh, from heaven, off of his throne, to come down here on earth some 2,000 plus years ago and died on a cross for me, and you're telling me his blood was perfect and holy, and so he was able to die for all mankind, and all I have to do is believe in this man named Jesus, whom I have never seen, and God, his Father, and also my Father, which I've never seen. Is that what you're telling me? That's what many lost people are asking and saying in their minds. Why? Because this is a mystery, man. It takes something to preach the gospel. And you need to pray for those who preach the gospel, because it's a battle, it's a fight, and it's a mystery. To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Oftentimes the preacher is in trouble. The true preacher of God is always in trouble. Paul was always in trouble. I don't think Paul ever went down to Shady View Beach and lay down on the beach and put his shorts on and play with a colorful ball. He was always in trouble. You never saw Paul at the carnival. Paul was either running, he was either being hunted, people wanted to kill him. Someone said that either Paul was someplace having a revival or a riot, one or the other. But Paul was always in trouble. Here, he refers to himself as the ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Regardless of the chains, I still need to preach. And by the way, if you are a true preacher, if you have to preach to a forest, you will preach. The little squirrels might come and listen to you. The coyotes and the deer might gather around to hear you preach. But if you are called to preach by God, I assure you, my beloved, if it's just one child, you will preach your heart out. Deliver us from these preachers who never preach. They sit in the pulpit and have a quizzical look on their faces while the preacher is preaching his heart out. They need to go out into a community and start a chapel or something, do something, and preach the word of God. If you're called to preach, you will preach. Now, if your mama called and papa called and your daddy was a preacher, and so you had to be a preacher according to him, and he put you through a cemetery or a seminary, and you know you never been called by God to preach one time, you need to sit down somewhere. But if you're called to preach, my beloved, you will preach the gospel. And Jeremiah said that it's like a fire shut up in my bones. You don't need a crowd. All you need is your Bible. Can somebody say amen? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the mystery of the gospel and the mystery of even preaching the gospel, which the world calls foolishness. They call it the foolishness of preaching. But it is the power of God unto salvation, preaching the gospel, preaching your holy word. It not only changes lives and changes the trajectory of individual lives, it also changes the trajectory of families, whole communities, whole states, whole nations. You've moved in the past. We're praying today that you would move again. And Lord, we answer the question that Leonard Ravenhill was made famous from: why revival tarries. Revival tarries because of us. People in your church who are full of foolishness, disobedience, rebelliousness, stubbornness, parents and husbands who don't have testicular fortitude to put their foot down to stamp out evil in their own families, and so they can't stamp it out in the church. And Holy Father God, pastors and evangelists and missionaries who don't pray, who would rather politic than pray, this is the reason why revival tarries. And Holy Father God, I pray that you'll help us in your church, in your true church, to confess our sins and to repent, and to pray to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways. And we pray that you'd revive us again. Lord, bless. I truly believe that if my son does this project right for the kingdom, my son Daniel the Fourth, what a golden opportunity you've given to him. I pray that you'd fill him and anoint him and unctionize him with your Holy Spirit to do this. And he will see instantaneously great fruit that comes from it, and help everybody to support him and to pray for him. And now, Holy Father God, give him the thoughts and the ideas and everything he needs to do. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from his efforts. And we pray now, Lord, that you would do the same in this message. Demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit as you have done it in the past. And as you know, I have told the folks many times, I'm amazed at how much you have in your treasure box, how that you can fill a preacher with not only the power of your Holy Spirit, but with thoughts and ideas and words and sentences that he's never thought about before, he's never said before, he's never read before. It only comes from you. A preacher can be tired and weary when he gets in, he dons the pulpit, but you do something to him. The only thing that we could call it as human, wicked and sinful and weak human beings is that you zap them, you do something, and we give you the glory, praise, and honor for it. Save that soul that is nearest to hell. Revive every Christian. Reclaim every backslidden person. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And hold that devil and all of his demons and all of his Judases and all of his Sanballats and Tobiases at bay, and surround us with your protection. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Glory be to God in the highest. Beloved, we are in a series of messages. A long series, goes back over 5 years. Entitled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and every verse regarding prayer in the Bible. I may not live to finish it, but that's okay. By the grace of God, I believe that we're over halfway there. And if I don't finish it, I believe one of my children will finish it for me. Because I'm at the point in my life that I can say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I'm not sick. I'm no ways, as the old saints used to say, I feel no ways tired. But God has been good to me, and everybody who knows me will tell me that I have not always been good to God, but God has been very good to me. Has shown me great grace. And I'm already dead. I've been dead for many years now. And I'm ready to cross over at any time the Lord wants me to go. The only reason why I am here is to preach the gospel and to help my children get established in this world. And in the Lord. And I have nothing else to live for. God has allowed me to climb mountains and to see further than I ever thought I would. Just a boy, originally from Brooklyn, New York, in the concrete streets of New York and the dusty roads of James City and Apalachicola, the alleys of Apalachicola, Florida. If you told my parents, if you told me that God would have me to preach the gospel around the world, to travel to many countries, many of them several times to preach the gospel, none of us would have believed it. You told us back in those days, as wicked and hateful of the church and church people as I was, because my dad, Daniel White Jr., was a preacher and everybody knew him, he had to go out and get a television show. And I hated that because that was not cool. If you had told my dad or my mom that I would do what I have done and write best-selling books and that have impacted thousands upon thousands of lives, they would not have believed it, nor would I. All I can tell you before I die is give your heart in your life to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, He will take you places that you would never even imagine in a million years. And He'll do with you if you yield your life to Him what you could not imagine in a million years. And I have living witnesses who will tell you that God has answered my prayers and God has blessed me tremendously and used me. And now I'm living out my life now through this thing which no one even thought about when I first got saved, called the internet and social media and all that. And now I'm big time self-actualizing, if you will, in my latter years, preaching the gospel around the world live and on demand. Thousands upon thousands and even millions have heard this poor preacher preach through this new invention called the internet, wrought by God through amazingly gifted men. Aren't you amazed at that rocket ship that took off yesterday with a car? You've got to listen to me. That is so far out there. That blows your mind to have people like that who can think of something so crazy and so out, literally out of this world. I can't get no amens. To put a car with a dummy in the car, like he's driving the car and playing one of Bowie's songs. They should have played a hymn, but anyway, they played one of the old rock and roll songs. It's playing right now as this car is traveling to Mars. I thank God for people who have that kind of mind to be able to do stuff like that. And these folks, bless their hearts. Many of them are not saved. Steve, what's his last name? Steve Jobs. Bezos. They might be even anti-religion. I don't know. Some of them are. But they don't know what they have done for the church. Right now as I stand here, I'm speaking to people live. And we'll be preaching to more people on demand after this message is over. Thank God for my sons going through the hard work of putting up the audios and the videos. Thank God for my daughters who help produce everything we do. The Prayer Motivator Devotional that has been listened to by thousands upon thousands. My daughter, Danny, was the first producer at the age of 16. She put it together. She put all of those scripts together, totaling almost over 1,000. God is able. God will take your nothingness and put His power on it and do great things. I want you to do greater things than what I have done. I want all of my children, everybody who hears me, to understand that if you yield your life to Christ and you pray without ceasing, God will give you wisdom. God will give you knowledge, understanding, and insight of man's witty inventions, and use those witty inventions for His glory, for God's glory. And be excited about what God can do with you. Stop being depressed, defeated, and sad, and mad. Pray. Pray your way through. You say, I feel like I'm going through hell. Don't stop. Keep on going through hell. Don't sit down in hell. Don't sit down on a smoldering rock in hell. Keep walking through hell. Don't quit. Don't lay down the towel, in the words of Charles McKinney. Don't do that. Keep on praying. This is why Paul said in this passage to pray without ceasing, because he knew that you'll feel that way. You will feel depressed, defeated, disgusted. You know why? Because you stop praying to God. You stop asking God for help. God knows how you feel. Pray to Him. And so, beloved, the purpose of this series is to encourage and challenge you, exhort you, if you will, motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He still lives, my dear friend. I'm a living witness because I talked to him this morning. The smile you see on my face is not fake. I have many troubles, as most people of God. But God has a way of lifting those burdens, those cares, those worries, and those anxieties. And this poor man prayed, and God delivered him out of all of his troubles. You can mess with a lot of people, but don't mess with a praying man. Don't mess with a praying man. There was a man who was dealing with me fairly in a regarding a situation, and I had always prayed for him. He was on our prayer list. He's still on our prayer list today, and he was not doing right, and I told him, I warned him about the situation lovingly, but I left it alone, kept on praying. And he called me one day over to the house, and he told me, his wife, who was in perfect health, a picture of health and life, a dear lady, and he loved her more than life itself. I thank God when a man loves a woman like that. It's a beautiful situation. Oh, did he love that woman. And we loved her as well. We thank God for her. She was a sweet older lady, and both older people. But they were the picture of health, took good care of themselves. But one day, while he was visiting some people, for some reason, his wife just dropped dead at the table. And as soon as he could, he called me. Listen to me, people. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I deserve hell. But it's a very dangerous thing to mess with God's people. It's a dangerous thing to mess with God's man and his family. And if God's man does not retaliate and he lets you go, you're in big trouble, because God will deal with you. To this day, that man does not really know what hit him. His dear wife, picture of health, there was nothing wrong with her. She was out doing what they call jazzercise, or Latin exercise deal, and rumba or something like that, rumba. And while they were visiting their children, she just keeled over and died. And with tears in his eyes, when I finally went over to the house to pray with him and to give him some literature to get him through the grief, he did everything but apologized to this day. And that's all right. You better leave God's people alone. Stop playing games with God's people and with God's man. He does not want that kind of stuff to happen to you, but it will if you persist in your evil ways. I've seen it. This is not the first time. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. And I can line up godly pastor after godly pastor after godly pastor who will tell you stories like that. Anyway, beloved, we highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 282 messages in this series. This is message number 283, simply titled, How to Win at Spiritual Warfare. I want you to notice that word, warfare. This is not a game, people. My daughters are excited about watching the Olympic Games starting tomorrow night. It is a beautiful spectacle. But I assure you, what we're in as Christians, this is not a game. This is straight face. This is a straight face situation. You better be serious about this. You're in warfare, whether you like it or not. I know you want the Christian life to be like Chuck E. Cheese. It is not. I know you want the Christian life to be like going to a circus or to a play, but it is not. This is not a game. This is not the Super Bowl. This is far greater than the Super Bowl. And by the way, even there in that arena, Jesus Christ is getting all of the glory, all of the praise, and all of the honor. He's got his folk planted in the NFL. Amen, somebody. And at the top of the sports world, the head coach says, first and foremost, I give glory, praise, and honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the quarterback gets up and says something similar. And then the running back gets up and says, all glory be to God. Can somebody say amen? We're talking about the God-man, Jesus Christ. Folk are mad. And people are giving glory to God so much and giving praise to Jesus Christ so much. Folk were mad at the former coach of the Colts. What's his name again? Tony Dungy. And all Tony Dungy was doing was repeating what the quarterback said. The quarterback felt that Jesus was setting him up for a great moment, and he was right. Did God help him? Did Christ help him? You can't play a quarterback position like that. Nobody can unless God is helping you. So ladies and gentlemen, I digress, but I digress real good. How to win at spiritual warfare through prayer, part 11. The Super Bowl is over for those Christians, but the spiritual warfare goes on. They're still fighting that battle. They will always fight it until the day they die. And when they see Jesus, until they see Jesus for the first time in Glory Land. So far, my beloved, as we have considered the types of prayer that we should avail ourselves of in spiritual warfare, we have discussed, if you will, I have preached on more pointedly the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, the many types of prayer, the prayer of requests, and I don't care what kind of prayer it is, it will not be easy. The prayer of supplication or supplication, the prayer of request or the prayer of supplication, the prayer of intercession and the prayer of giving. And oftentimes when you're praying all of that all at the same time. This afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, we will look at another type of prayer, the prayer of worship. Very similar to Thanksgiving, but a little different. The prayer of worship is simply a prayer that is packed with praise for God. Some of you may not know about this, but there are some Christians who are listening to me right now. When you just have a moment, something just hits you, and all you want to do is just give God the praise. Not only in front of other people, but alone. Oftentimes, while driving down the road, this thing will hit you. We talk about worship a lot during church services and about church services. We sing songs of praise to God when we gather as a local body, as we sung this afternoon, of believers, and we ought to. And there's nothing, there's very few periods of singing that's more powerful than congregational singing of hymns and praise songs. And this is one of the reasons why you ought to go to church. Because God begins to do stuff before the preaching begins. God, the Holy Spirit of God, you go to the right church. A big old 340-pound man will start shedding tears. Amen, somebody. Have you ever been in a church service and nobody was jumping and shouting or anything like that, but you were in the pews and your heart was so filled with praise for God that tears began to flow down your face? It wasn't the singing, it was the Holy Spirit in the singing. Amen, somebody. I feel like having a Baptist costal fit right now. You know, but I got to, I got to control myself. You know, I have an image to uphold. I can't be running out of the pulpit and shouting and kicking my leg up, as some preachers do. But every now and then God, makes you want to holler, if you know what I mean. But how often do you just worship God throughout the week and give God praise? I'm not talking about some perfunctory mechanical mess. I'm not talking about that. You know, somebody told you you got to do it this way and all of that. No, no, no. I'm talking about spontaneously from your heart giving God the praise. How about this one? While you're going through hell, you just kick a smoldering rock over and keep on stepping, and you shout the victory in Jesus while you're going through hell. And the devil is looking at you thinking you're crazy. The demons are looking, what's up with this one? We got them going through hell and they're still shouting the victory. They're not speaking our language, devil. What should we do? I don't know what to do with a joker like that. We already got him going through hell. His wife has cursed him and told him to curse God and die. His baby daughter was killed. The debts are very high, and he does not have any money. The money is low. I don't know what else I can do but kill him, but God won't let me touch him. Amen, somebody. Oh, my soul. I don't speak in tongues, but every now and then I feel like speaking in something. I got a dear preacher I was with last week. He's a Baptist preacher. He doesn't think he's one of the greatest preachers in American history, but many people do. He speaks in tongues. I'm not against it. If that's what he wants to do, if God leads him to do it, I believe that is a real thing because I trust him. God has never led me to speak in tongues, but every now and then I When I say, ha, 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 oh, I'm, hey, what? Woo, oh, I need to go ahead on and close this one out. Oh, yes. But how often do you just worship God throughout the week on your own? There's nobody around you. That, you know, your wife and your husband, they don't count because they know you. Your children don't count. They don't. If you shout the glory in front of them, you got something. You got something. You got something. You got something. You got the real thing. Can somebody say amen? I'm going to have to sit down here in a minute because I'm getting ready to have a Baptist costal fit up in this place. Up in here, and I'm not supposed to do that because I am a bona fide, born again Baptist preacher. I am not talking about singing. Singing is good. Some of us, we know that singing is not, the proof of our salvation, because some of us, half the church can't sing. I love my mother, but my mother can't sing. She knows it. I love myself, but I know I can't sing. I can't even stand hearing myself sing sometimes, most times. But isn't it amazing how your mind can deceive yourself? Your mind can deceive you can deceive yourself into thinking you can sing. Every now and then it seems like God give you a little something while you're singing. And you fool around there and hit a note that you think is Al Greenish. That's what you think. It's in your mind. Now the other people who hear you, they really wish that you would be quiet. Don't y'all look at me funny. You know you've been in church. You've been in church. Somebody said they want to sing a song. And they just butchered. They just butchered. And you wish you were, have you ever been embarrassed for somebody else? Not embarrassed for yourself, but you were so embarrassed for somebody else, you would wish, you were wishing that they would sit down and quit. So don't you judge me. People have the idea that worship is only singing praise songs. And I love praise songs. For many years I didn't. I was not a big praise song person until I started singing them. I was a hymn person. I'm old fashioned. I like the old hymns. And I love it, however, when the modern millennial young people take the old hymns and modernize them. I like that. But prayer can be a form of worship as well. In fact, Dr. John MacArthur calls prayer the highest form of worship. The Old Testament gives us many examples of the prayer of worship. The book of Psalms is replete with the worshipful prayers of David, Moses, Asaph, and Solomon. Even when they were lamenting their woes or expressing frustration because of their enemies, they usually ended up with words of praise for God, for just being God in all of His sovereign glory. Remember now, this is not perfunctory. This is not mechanical. Nobody can teach you how to do this. In Psalm 34:1, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will, in other words, praise God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You cannot praise God enough. So that means that certainly just shouting and raising your hands in church shouting and raising your hands in church is not the only time that you can praise God. Amen, somebody. How many of you know that the Christian life is lived more in the home and outside of the four walls of the church than it is in 1 hour on Sunday morning? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's one of the reasons why I love that song. In fact, let's sing this song today. Your praise will forever be on my lips. I like that. Now, you got to be saved to like stuff like that, people. You can't fake stuff like that. You can't fake stuff like that. When you love stuff like that, there's something going on deep on the inside. This tells us that no matter what kind of spiritual or earthly pressure we are under, preferably the male voice, we can always give God praise. No matter what kind of frustrations we have, some of you have frustrations and resentment and bitterness in your marriage life. You need to let go. You need to first confess your sins and apologize for your sins and then forgive the other person. And you need to give God the praise that you have a marriage. Can somebody say amen? You need to give God praise for the wife that you have. You need to give God praise for the husband that you have. You need to give God praise for your children. And not always be enamored with other people's children. And by the way, just because you failed at raising your children, don't try to mess with somebody else's children who were raised well. When we praise God in prayer, my beloved, we remind ourselves of who God is. God is somebody. And we're really nobodies without Him, yet He still loves us. I don't understand it. And you don't understand it. I cannot explain it, and nor can you. You can't. I know for a fact. Listen to me very carefully. I know for a fact. There are some things you cannot explain to me. It will never suffice. It will never satisfy. You cannot explain to me why God loves wretched, wicked, evil sinners like us. I don't know. And you don't know. It is mind-boggling that He wants to be with us. You have to remember now, God not only sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins and to suffer as He did to save us from hell. I believe more so to save us to heaven. Why? For some reason, He likes us. It's the strangest thing. He loves us and He wants to fellowship with us, God. Now, God does not need us, but yet He loves us. Far beyond what you and I can explain or imagine. He is a miracle worker, a providential provider, a constant refuge. He is not bound by our circumstances or the hell that we're going through. He is the conqueror of hell. Pardon me. We may face setbacks and limitations and problems and issues, but God never does. So keep on praying. Keep on praising God and giving Him the glory. Participate in the prayer of praise. You don't have to sing a song. You can praise God by praying to him as well. And all prayer is communication with God Almighty. That's what makes it powerful. That's what makes it special. I have much more to say to you, but I have to cut this message short. So there will be a part two if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for giving us a heart and mind and to pray to you, to communicate with you. And now, Lord, we are reminded to, when we pray to you, to not only give thanks, but to praise your holy name for you. Have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins where we have not done that. And give us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. And when we pray, Lord, help us to do all of this kind of different kinds of praying. Hear and answer our prayers. Continue to bless us exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we should ask or think. Glorify your holy name. Save those who are lost around us and under the sound of my voice. Revive those who are saved so that they can know this joy. Unspeakable peace that passeth all understanding. And your love that nobody can explain. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? If you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, if you will, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer when you call on God to save you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But first you must understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, an eternal punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. Our body goes to the funeral home and to the grave. We will cease to exist on earth, but our eternal soul will go to hell if we have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And hell is a very serious matter. Jesus Christ, yes, was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, more than preachers today. He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, and he preached more on hell than most preachers preach about it today. He preached more on the subject of hell and avoiding hell than gaining heaven. Jesus Christ said in one of his sermons, if you will, on hell, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You ask, who will go to hell? Well, I'm glad you asked. We get the answer in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful," people too afraid to get saved because they are afraid of what their family members might do or their friends might do. And unbelieving, people who refuse to believe in God, who refuse to believe on Jesus Christ as Savior. These are the atheists and the agnostics, and the abominable. These are people who do wicked and evil and ungodly things. They commit abominations, such as committing homosexuality, being lesbians, being homosexuals, men having sex with men, women having sex with women, men putting on women's clothing, women putting on men's clothing, looking like a man. Nowadays, things are so bad you have to ask people, and then they'll get mad if you ask them, and then they'll come back and say, it's not about mankind, it's about people kind. I'm a people. I'm not a man, I'm a person. And murderers, people who kill innocent babies, people who commit abortion, killing a human being that God is trying to bring in the world. You say, preacher, I don't like you. I'm mad at you for saying such things. I'm just preaching the word of God, my friend. I know it makes you angry. They used to have people running at prophets and gnawing on them with their teeth, and back in Jesus's, right after Jesus left the earth, and they wanted to kill Jesus. You know, man didn't write what I'm reading to you right now and sharing with you. No man would write this. It would be politically incorrect. You know who else is going to hell? Not only murderers. Yeah, some of you are saying, those murderers ought to go to hell. But whoremongers are going to hell too. You say, preacher, have you ever done any of these sins? Yes, whoremongering was one of mine. Yeah. And so if God can save a whoremonger like me, he can save you. I know that some of my Baptist friends are saying, oh my, what? No, you were a whoremonger too, and you were a whore. So don't just cut it out. Don't come to, how would I mention such things from the sacred desk? No, that's the truth. And we need more Christians telling the truth of what you were, about what you were, and now, because of Christ, what you have turned out to be. And sorcerers. Yeah, those whoremongers, they ought to go to hell. Yeah, those murderers ought to go to the lake of fire. Yeah. But sorcerers are going too, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, those who live by the zodiac signs. We even got some Christians talking, I'm a Libra, I'm a Virgo, I'm this. You better be saved. You better be a Christian. I'm a lion, I'm a Taurus, I'm a bear. And you're acting like a bear, a lion, and a Taurus, whatever that is. You better be saved. You better be a Christian. A Christian. And stop practicing voodoo and going to Mama Mia and looking in a crystal ball. Messing with Ouija boards. Those demons are going to come out of that Ouija board one day and bite your hand off. And then what you going to say then? And idolaters. Okay, well, yeah. Murderers, yeah. The abominable people, yeah, they ought to go to hell. Whoremongers ought to go to hell. Yeah, those sorcerers, they don't believe in God, practicing witchcraft and voodoo, sticking needles in the people's heads, causing people to get a headache. They ought to go to hell. But how about idolaters? People who worship everything and everybody but God. They worship the moon. They worship the stars. They worship nature. Thousands of folks go out and hug trees. Some people worship their pets. Some people worship their children. Some people worship family. You need to understand why God does not like that. God does not like that because God is the originator of everything. Everything you see, he made it. You need to worship God and God alone. And God is a jealous God. And if you don't stop doing that and trust Christ, his son, his savior, you're going to hell. And then finally, here's another person going to hell. All liars. Here's another group of people rather going to hell. All liars. All liars? Now, I escaped being a murderer. I have never murdered anybody. I escaped practicing sorcery and witchcraft and voodoo. But I just lied to my husband. I just lied to my wife. I lied on my children. I have lied to my children. I lie all the time. I practice lying. I ought to get a 4-year degree in lying, a BA in lying. I lie so much. I thought everybody lied. I lied on my taxes. I just turned them in. I shouldn't be getting any money back, but I'm getting several thousand dollars back because I told a little white lie. Preacher, it's a little white lie. Surely we're not going to hell for lying. It's so easy to lie. In fact, preacher, I'm living a lie right now. Where the Bible says all liars shall have their part. Their part, their specific part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those are the folk going to hell. Are you in that number? If God didn't get you on the sorcery, if God didn't get you on the abominable people, if God did not get you on whoremongering, I think he's got you on the lying. Right there, boom. Right there, boom. Hell is an awful place. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of a darkness that you will feel. The darkness will torment you. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. You will remember this message that you might be laughing at right now. But you will remember every word I am saying. So hell is a bad place, and hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now that's good news. You deserve hell, but you don't have to go to hell. Because Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, wrapped himself in flesh and he chose to die on the cross as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. That includes your sins, all of it. Yes, whoremongering. Yes, being a whore. Yes, being a liar. Yes, being a sorcerer. Yes, being a homosexual. Yes, being a lesbian. Yes, being a transgendered individual. All of that and more. Not only will he save you, but he'll save your partner. He'll save your entire family if they all believe in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who gave his life for you and for me. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. All you have to do is believe in him. You say, well, I want to be perfect before I come to Jesus. You'll never be perfect. You'll die and go to hell trying to be perfect. I want to get myself together, preacher. You know, I'm not right with some things. You know, some things I want to get right. You won't get right without Jesus. Yeah. Trust Jesus first, and he'll help you with all that. Preacher, I want to get my house in order first. You know, our house, our family's really messed up, man. I got to get some drugs out of there and some other things, contraband that we have up in there. Don't worry about that. Just trust Jesus, and he'll help you with that. Believe on Christ first. Preacher, I'll get saved, but I don't think my wife is a humdinger. I don't think she'll get. You get saved first and let her see Christ in you, and then God will take care of her. Don't you worry about all that. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save your soul. Pray and ask him to save you, and he will, I assure you. For Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? I just showed you. Saved from the lake of fire. Saved from an everlasting hell. There's no other place to put you but with the devil and his angels who betrayed God. If you don't trust Christ as Savior, I'll be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father, God in heaven, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner by choice and by nature. I could not stop sinning without your help if I tried. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive me of my sins of checking the zodiac to live my life by. Forgive me of my sins of being a homosexual. Forgive me of my sins of being a whoremonger and a whore. Whatever your sin is, ask God to forgive you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life, eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you. He really does. We love you by the grace of God. And may God bless you real good.